You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
A very good evening to the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as usual on Sunday evenings, I am Hende, your host, until 8 p.m. here on the Eagle Sports Zone on your number one talk radio station. We have a action-packed show for you today. On the Eagle Sports Zone, we'll be joined by several guests today to discuss things, whether it's football. We'll have, in about 10 minutes, we'll have a conversation with Coach Tennille Young, who was with our para-athletes over in New Delhi. So we'll have a chat with her. We'll have a chat with Isaac Himata from the NFA to discuss the return of football. I think since the last time we spoke, you know, since the last episode we had of the Eagle Sports Zone, the NFA made an announcement that league football will return on the 24th of October. So we'll chat to Mr. Himata about that in, let's say, in about an hour or so, maybe less. We'll chat to him. We'll chat to Chula Chula head coach. That is Coach John Sikerete, who will talk to us about the upcoming season, about last season, and his expectations and his thoughts on football finally returning to the land of the brave. As always, if you'd like to chime into the program, you can call us in the studio at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you are welcome to file them here on the Eagle Sports Zone, where we will be chatting about sports for the next 2 hours. And as is customary, before we get into our actual chat, let's go through some local sports news before we get into what we have planned for the evening. So we will start with none other than Cricket Namibia. Those of you might have seen that we hosted the world famous Proteas, that's South Africa and the South African cricket team. We hosted them at the official opening of the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground. This was yesterday afternoon. It was also actually the very first time that we played South Africa in an international cricket match, which was quite surprising even for me to find out. But it was the first time we played them in Namibia, and then we beat them. Beat them by 4 wickets. In a T20I matchup, as I said, in Windhoek at the new, and this match acted as the official opening of the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground, the $72 million facility that Cricket Namibia has spent the past few years building, officially open, and this will be a site for the 2027 ICC Cricket World Cup, which Namibia is co-hosting with South Africa and Zimbabwe. And we also have some under-19 World Cups coming up. That's next year as well. So this facility will be put to great use by the international cricket community. But speaking specifically about the match on Saturday, yesterday afternoon, Namibia beat South Africa by 4 wickets. Was in front of a sold-out crowd. They said over 4,000 tickets, to be exact, were sold. They sold out in, if I remember correctly, in pretty much the day that they became available, they sold out. So it was a hot ticket that Windhoek was ready for. And if you go to our social media pages, you'll see some of the images and videos that came from that day, if you happen to have missed it yesterday. And so a little bit about the match. South Africa batted first and ended up putting up 134 runs. For 8, that was for our Eagles to chase down, which we did so throughout the second half. And Zane Green, it was actually his birthday yesterday as well. He scored a 4 on the very last ball of the match to give Namibia the historic victory in what was a joyous occasion, really. You know, you could feel the excitement, you could feel the energy, you could feel the joy from everyone that was in the crowd. Largely Namibians, of course, saw a few South African jerseys here and there, but largely Namibian crowd on there to cheer on Namibia as they open this great facility. If you haven't seen the facility yet, I encourage you to go pay the facility a visit. It is right next to the Hage Geingob Stadium in Olympia. And it's an example, really, of what Namibia can do when it comes to sport. But we'll touch on that in a bit later. Back to the match. It was as I said, it was the first time we played South Africa, who are, by the way, a Tier 1 nation, or they also call it a full member nation, in any international format. And it is just the fourth time that we, Namibia, have beaten a full member nation in a cricket fixture. The other times were against Zimbabwe, Ireland, and Sri Lanka. So we've now added to the list. We've gotten our fourth Tier 1 victory. And hopefully at the T20 World Cup and the full ICC World Cup, we will see more of such victories. Hopefully also at the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground. And a little bit more on the match was a youngster by the name of Max Haingo. Was a good story for him yesterday. He made his international debut, actually. It was his first time representing Namibia in the senior team. And when we spoke to him there, he revealed that his teammates, Ben Shikongo, who you guys have heard on here before as well, was actually, he said, is his role model. You know, someone that inspires him. And that they actually grew up together in the same town. So that's a heartwarming story coming from the cricket stadium opening. Now, moving on to cycling. We had some cycling this weekend as well. It was the Nedbank National Mountain Bike Championships took place. This took place at the farm, Bergkwel, near Okahandja. And, Deans van der Westhuizen, as well as Vera Lusser, one of our Olympians at the last Olympics, they took home the men's and women's titles. In the men's category, Martin Fryer and Adrian Key took the second and third places. On the women's side, Henri Grieff and Marion Schoenecke took the second and third in the women's category. Now, moving on a bit to the continental side of things. We had the Region 5. You guys remember Region 5? Region 5 hosted a half marathon in South Africa, in Tswane. And in first place, the Namibian side was Daniel Paulus, who finished first in the men's category, excuse me. We had Lavinia Haitope, who finished third in the women's. And then in the 10-kilometer race, we had Maria Kanyanga, who finished second. And then there was also a one-mile race, which equates to about 1.6 kilometers. We had Merachi Garowep, who finished first in that one, as well as Rudely Goasep, who finished second in the one miler, right? In terms of other local sports, you know, there wasn't too much happening this weekend, at least not too much that Eagle FM was able to cover. But as I said, we'll speak to Coach Tenille Young about the World Para Athletics Championships that took place about a fortnight ago. And some of the standout performers, probably the standout performer of the group that went to go represent us over in New Delhi, India, was Ananya Shikongo and his guide. And his guide, Evan Chiuchu, who won the silver medal in the men's 100 meter T11 final. And, Ananya has actually set the African record in the semi-final, and then in the final itself, set another African record with a time of finishing in a time of 11 seconds. And we had Petrus Karuli, who competed in the men's 400 meter T37 final, but he finished 8th. Then we also had one of our veteran para-athletes, that is Johanna Benson, 35 years old now. She was also in the women's 200 meter T37 final, but she finished 8th in that one. And we also had a new prospect in Lahia Hipinge, who was only 19, competed at the games as well, representing Namibia, was the youngest on the track. And so, in a few moments, we will get in touch with our first guest of the day, that is Coach Tennille Young, to speak to us about, you know, her experience in New Delhi as a coach, what it meant for the athletes. She'll give us some insight a bit on the games as well. So we'll get in touch with her in about 2-3 minutes. We'll get some first-hand insight of the World Para Athletics Championships that Namibia took part in. And we'll get into that conversation on the other side of this brief commercial break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USAID? Dawn Roll-On Deodorant for ladies and men, just $13.99. 400 milliliters of Sungel dishwashing liquid, just $16.99. 1 kilogram of Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, just $29.99. 500 milliliter tube of Personal Touch fabric softener, just $24.99. And 400 milliliters of Dawn hand and body cream, just $29.99. You save, I save, we all save. At you save.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge Fada Fanona, Monica, Ko, Eagle FM, Honoreta Timwe, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Matatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Yes, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as promised before the commercial break, we will be in touch with our first guest of the evening. That is Coach Tennille Young. Coach, are you with us?
Hi, good evening. Yes, I am.
Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing this Sunday evening?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, you know, we have you on here today to talk to us a little bit about the World Para Athletics Championships that a group of our para athletes competed in New Delhi, India. Yeah. If we can start off, just give the listeners some insight about the significance of the World Para Athletics Championships.
All right, so the World Para Athletics Championships has the same significance to our para athletes as the World Championships, the World Athletics Championships would have that took place in Tokyo, Japan earlier in September.
Mm-hmm.
For an able-bodied athlete, it has the same significance for a para-athlete as the championships in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would you say this is one of the pinnacles for a para-athlete is to compete in these games?
It definitely is, because this is just the event that would then obviously, depending on what is happening the next year, for example, next year we have Commonwealth Games, so this is an event that they can ensure their place in the Commonwealth team.
Mm-hmm.
In 2027, they can ensure their place in the Paralympic Games team. So this is definitely an important event and a pinnacle for them.
Can you share how was the experience from your point of view as a coach? How was the experience over in India?
So from a coaching perspective, our athletes didn't have much preparation time because we, at the time in which we knew that we were going to World Champs was short. Let me not say it wasn't enough, but mm-hmm. it was short. A coach would always want to be able to do more and have more time and, you know, so from a coaching perspective, I really think our athletes needed a bit more time, specifically mm-hmm. in India as well.
Yeah.
The weather circumstances, air pollution is a big, big issue in India. And in my opinion, our athletes needed about 5 to 7 days longer mm-hmm. to acclimatize to it than what they have. However, I also, as a coach, think we're so blessed with the results that we came back with.
Yeah.
With our team and everything leading up to the World Champs this year.
Now, before we get to the results, when did you say the team found out that they would be traveling for the World Championships?
So it was a few weeks before we left that we only really got confirmation that we'll be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
So with the issue of not having sanctioned events in Namibia this year, we weren't sure of whether, you know, things would happen for us this year.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it was a thing of we train, but we don't know, do we train to peak at World Champs or do we just train?
And I heard you now, you said we didn't have sanctioned events this year. So normally our athletes have sanctioned events to compete in, it's just not this year?
Yes, unfortunately, our tracks in Namibia are too old. The World Athletics do not sanction events,
mm-hmm.
Athletics events on our tracks. That year was the issue. This was not the first year that we unfortunately didn't have sanctioned events.
Yeah.
In the country, and obviously it's quite expensive to tour, you know, to South Africa, Botswana, and we have to consider it's para athletics and able-bodied. That would have to get opportunities. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Unfortunately, the para athletes did not have much opportunity this year.
Yeah.
To ensure that they do go, and that we have a bigger contingent of athletes that went, just because of that that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And speaking of the results, you know, we had Anania Sikongo who did great to win a silver medal. What can you share with us about one, your thoughts on his achievement and just about Ananias overall as an athlete?
Well, everyone I meet since him winning that medal, I say if you cannot do what Ananias is doing at 39, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I know Ananias for almost 15 years now. He still inspires me mm-hmm. as an athlete. His work ethic is relentless. For example, he was not prepared in running the 400 meter this year. We did mm-hmm. not enter him. However, when we got to New Delhi and we finalized all entries for the competition, we realized that he is entered into the 400. And his perspective was, I'm here to represent the country. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, he reached the semis in it. So as an athlete, he still inspires me. And for those who don't know, he bettered his own African record twice within 24 hours in New Delhi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that he really put on a great show and represented the country well.
Yes. The other athletes as well, many of them came back with personal bests,
mm-hmm.
Not only season bests. So all of our athletes did run season bests. Many of them improved their ranking in Africa as well as the world.
Yeah.
Which puts us at a better place for Commonwealth and obviously for the Grand Prix circuit for next year as well.
Mm-hmm. So following up on that, Coach, I wanna ask you, are you able to give us a sort of an overview of the landscape of what para-athletics is like in Namibia? Like, what is the environment like nationally? What is the level like for those that might not know anything about para-athletics in Namibia? Can you paint a picture for us?
So firstly, I'd like to say I am a firm believer that Namibia has a vast, vast treasure trove of untapped talent in this country when it comes to para-sport mm-hmm. overall. Mm-hmm. I really do think so. With very little expertise when it comes to talent ID and development, specifically for para-sport.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that is a lack that we have, expertise within coaching, talent ID, classifying athletes and so forth. It is few and far between. So athletes also have to travel quite far distances to be able to be classified or for a coach to be able to say, yes, but I do think there's something here and there is a lot of potential in here.
Yeah.
However, with that said, I am excited for what is happening in parasport across the board, not only athletics, because mm-hmm. there are so many athletes coming up and really making a mark, not only our seasoned para-athletics athletes, but if we consider we have a para-triathlete that's going to compete in world champs this coming week.
Yeah.
We had two para-athletes compete in the Region 5 marathon today.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there are still major, major gaps when it comes to expertise and knowledge and having the right people and the right resources to identify the talent and, to develop the talent. But that was one of the biggest reasons I got involved.
Yes.
So that I can help implement my research I did into the specific topic
mm-hmm.
and help make a difference in para sport. So that we can also show that we can take a contingent of 100 athletes to the Paralympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
We have that ability and we have that resource when it comes to athletes. We do have that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would like to know, is the concentration of athletes, is it mostly athletes from Windhoek, or do we have a strong presence in outside of Windhoek as well when it comes to para athletes?
We do have a strong presence, but I think it comes back to my point I made again that expertise is few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So the athletes are forced to either be in the Rongo region or to be in the Comas region.
Yeah.
And if they are identified in the north or in the south of the country, they are required to move because the expertise are either in the Commerce region or in the Irongo region.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unfortunate situation we have currently.
Yeah.
But us as coaches as well, we are also trying to stand together and help the other coaches to help. So with the NPC, we'll obviously also do our part in helping to educate other coaches
mm-hmm.
so that the other regions are also represented when it comes to athletes that go out and represent the country.
100%. So if there was only one thing that you could change or improve upon when it comes to para athletics in Namibia, what would it be?
You're putting me on the spot because there's so much I'd like to do. But I think if there's really something that I would want to change is that I have more time for para athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's so much I can do and there's such a big difference there's so much I can contribute when it comes to the knowledge that I've gained in schooling myself in the sport industry. And I know the difference it can make in the para fraternity. So I think if there's something that I want to change, it's me having enough time.
Yes.
For para sport.
100%.
Yeah.
So, back to India, is there anything in particular that you are going to keep with you from your experience in India?
I tell everyone that I've probably never spent my own money to go to India, but I am so blessed that I was able to represent my country in India so that I can experience India and the culture of India and experience sport in such an environment.
Yeah.
Yes, we had harsh weather conditions. And like I said, air pollution is a real struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Our athletes did struggle to breathe, for example, at certain times and so on. But just the experience in and of itself, because if you go to Europe for sport, it's almost like it feels normal.
Yeah.
But experiencing it in a country like India was just, there's just a different culture to it. It's like if you experience a traditional wedding in the north of Namibia, there's just a different culture to it than experiencing a wedding in Bantuk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get me?
Yeah,
it's that
yeah.
type of thing. So just the experience of it, I'll always treasure. And I'm really honored that the government and the ministry specific, that MASAC stood behind us and they were like, no, you need to go and you need to go represent us.
Yeah, no, it was great of them to support the whole contingent. And just for the listeners who might be listening, how many world championships have you been a part of now?
So this was my second world championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been to the Paralympic Games last year as well as a coach. This year I wasn't only a coach, I was team leader as well.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
And then I've been to the Commonwealth Games.
Great stuff, great stuff.
Yeah.
My last question for you, coach, is besides now, because I saw we had a 19-year-old, Lahia Ipinge, competing.
Yes.
Well, for Namibia, who are some of the other up and coming para athletes in Namibia that the listeners should take note of?
So on the female side, they should definitely have a lookout for Dapewa Ipinge.
Mm-hmm.
She's also a T12 athlete. She is only 16, but such a fierce runner already.
Is she related to really Lahia by chance?
She is actually.
Oh, okay.
No, she is actually, but Dapewa made such a mark at the Region 5 Youth Games. She went home with 4 gold medals.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yeah, so Dapewa is definitely someone to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Mirash. Mirash is a T47 marathon. He's a long-distance athlete. He ran the Region 5 marathon today.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely someone we need to look out for when it comes to athletes on the male side now.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, so... And then us as coaches, we're obviously always relentlessly looking for new athletes. So you're welcome to also share my number if someone knows of someone that has the ability or the talent or if anything to be an athlete. They can contact me. They're more than welcome to.
100%. We will make sure to connect you if anyone reaches out. Is there, coach, before I let you go, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners?
I think I've said this many times, but myself and the entire team, we are truly humbled by the support Namibia has given us.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with this World Champs, but the last year's World Champs, as well as the Paralympic Games. We really appreciate the way that the country stands behind us. We see the messages. We don't always respond. Or this year we were blessed enough to have a press attaché, so she was constantly in contact with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would then give the messages back that would be placed on social media and so on. So to the entire Namibia, we are truly grateful. And I implore everyone to continue supporting para sport, para athletics, para swimming, para whatever the case is. There are many para sport codes happening, and I implore the entire nation to keep on supporting us. And we will keep on working hard so that we can represent them well.
100%. Coach, thank you very much for your time, and we wish you continued success with our para-athletes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. There was Coach Tennille Young, one of our many coaches in the para-athletic sector. round of applause for Coach Tennille Young. I have an applause button now, so we'll be handing out applauses to those that deserve them. Once again, thanks Coach Tennille Young for that great insight that you provided us with. If you'd like to comment on that before we get to our next guest, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Here on the Eagle Sports Zone on your number one talk radio station. And one of my immediate takeaways from our chat with Coach Young was about para athletes not having sanctioned events this year. That's something I didn't know at all. And so, you know, it's disappointing to hear that our athletes had to compete under those conditions due to the fact that we didn't have, or we don't have, the appropriate facilities to have World Athletics sanctioned events for our para athletes to compete on. So, age old problem, not only for our para athletes, for all sports in Namibia, as we infamously know about our sports sector. But hopefully change will occur. Hopefully this is something we'll not hear about next year. And the years to come as well. But yes. Now we will get into conversation about our favorite sport. Or most of our favorite sport. Let me not speak for everyone. Most of our favorite sport. And it is that of football. You know, the last time I spoke to you guys, this news had not broken yet. And so, for those that are not aware, the Namibian Football Association has announced that the Namibian football season, meaning not just the Premier League, but, you know, that's your first division, that's your second division, all across the country. The football season, the calendar, will start on the 24th of October, 2025. That is 2 weekends from now. And of course, as usual, stay tuned to Eagle FM's social media pages, Eagle FM, the radio station, as well as we always give you up-to-date, fresh news and insights when it comes to Namibian football. And they made this announcement through a press release where they said the following, which I found very interesting, was that they stated that all members will receive the same financial assistance as the previous season, so as the 2024-25 season, the one that just passed. And I found this interesting because so far, at least at the time of this recording, we only know of the 10 million that the association receives from the government, right? Since they lost their sponsor, which was Deb Marine, for the past 3 seasons. And if you'd want to hear from Deb Marine's CEO, Mr. Willie Mertens, simply go to the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Go to the podcast section. Type in Eagle Sports Zone Deb Marine or Eagle Sports Zone Willie Mertens, anything like that. And you'll be able to pull up the full conversation that we had with the CEO of Deb Marine Namibia when it comes to the sponsorship of Namibian football. He gave us some great insight, great things that you hadn't seen before when it comes to this conversation. So if you want more background info on that, more detailed information on that, go to the podcast section of our website or download the Eagle FM mobile application and go to the podcast section there. Whichever one you choose, go to the podcast section, type in what I just said you should type in, and you will be able to access that full conversation on the go wherever you are and you can enjoy it at your convenience. Maybe you only want to listen to 5 minutes now, 10 minutes later, 30 minutes tomorrow, it's up to you, but it is available for you via the channels that I just mentioned. And so, it's interesting to say the least that they've made this commitment basically to assure everyone that you're going to get what you got last season. But as far as we know, as I'm sitting here in the studio today, they don't have the funds beyond the 10 million required to make that happen. As we know, they need around 18, 20 million to make the league run for a full season. That's at a break even point. I want to say even at a loss point, but that's the number they've given us over the years, is that once they have 18 million, they can put on a league. And so far they have a little over half of that. So it'll be interesting to see in these next 3 months, 4 months, in regard to what the NFA can come up with. But speaking of the NFA, on the other side of this, we'll get in touch with our guest for today. That is Mr. Isaac Himata. We can call him head of communications. You know, usually all communications go through him when it comes to the Namibian Football Association and the media. So let's call him head of communications. I believe his official title is head of marketing, but you get the picture. On the other side of this, we'll be in touch with Mr. Hamata to discuss the upcoming football season, the challenges of last season, and much, much more. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, welcome back. We are now joined by Mr. Isaac Himata from the NFA. Mr. Isaac, thank you very much for making time for us. How are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. Yourself?
I'm good. Thank you. So, we're here to talk about the news that has excited many of our listeners, is that the football has returned. What details can you share with us regarding the return of Namibian football?
The key detail I can share with you is that the 24th of October, which is a Friday, has been set as the kickoff date for the season, the football season 2025-2026.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's for me, for us, the key date or the key thing. It's the date. So everything therefore follows from the date. Everything that clubs and members must do to ensure that when that date arrives, that football will be played in terms of registering players,
yes,
registering as members to the NFA, requirements to submit financial documents of last year,
mm-hmm,
all of those preliminary that must be and undertakings, of course, that you will conform and comply with the rules and regulations of football,
yeah,
as prescribed by FIFA and others. So those are the preliminaries that must take place before football starts on the 24th of October.
And so when we say football starts, we're not just talking about Premier League, correct? We mean all divisions of Namibian football.
That's why I'm deliberately saying football, because it's the football season,
mm-hmm,
and not the Premier League season. But I must further clarify, as has been the case in previous seasons, it is one Premier League game that kicks off the season.
Yeah.
And it usually happens on a Friday,
mm-hmm,
where the whole country unites around that one particular match. That then sets the tone for the rest of the season. So on that 24th, there will be one or two matches the leadership will decide,
yeah,
in terms of feasibility. And then Saturday, Sunday, there will then be a staggered approach or a phased-in approach with regard to which matches can then take place on Saturday, Sunday. And then the next weekend, it will be full swing. Everybody will then be taking to the pitch,
mm-hmm,
whether it's your Premier League men, Super League women, first division, the three streams, the second division, the third division, the women's regional division, and the women's football league. All of them will then have a very good approach to how they want to, how they should start their league. But we are opening the season on the 24th. I think that is key. Whatever then happens, is in terms of a staggered approach, we are not anticipating that all the leagues will start all their matches at the same day, same hour. That would be impossible.
Yeah.
But what we are saying is the league will start and the season will start. And from there on, we will stack, we phase in how the rest of the leagues will then start rolling out their league programs.
Yes. One topic that's been very, this has been very public, has been the sponsorship of the league. So far we know that the government has come through with the 10 million sponsorship for the Premier League. Is there any plans for other sponsors to come in, or how is the association planning to fund this season as it stands?
The engagements are taking place, but as I said on a previous occasion, which I will repeat now, 10 million of the total 18-20 million has been secured.
Yeah.
From government. We all know the Deputy Minister, Honorable Dino Balotti, made a ministerial statement in Parliament alluding to that. Now, we need 20 million for a full season. 10 million would be enough at least for the first leg of the season.
Okay.
So, would you want to wait until you've collected all the 20 to start and take you to next year? Mm-hmm. Or would you start with what you have and then work so that maybe whoever wants to then come on board, we then see that the football has started and therefore there's a need to put in something from our side as a corporate or whatever entity you are.
Yeah.
So 10 million is enough to start the league. So clubs will be guaranteed their grants that they're entitled to pay the conditions of participating in the league. So the first leg at least would be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And then while the leaders and everybody else, government included, looking or negotiating or tying up opportunities for the second tranche of that money.
So, I mean, it's actually possible that we start the first leg and then let's just say if for whatever reason a sponsor was not secured, it's possible that the second half of the season won't continue.
No, but you see, also be a bit positive.
Yes, of course.
Why look at it that way?
Yeah.
So people would not just take decisions thinking of the negative side of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's an optimism, and that's what they are working on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what we would really want to lean towards, as opposed to saying the money will not come, and therefore the season will stop once the first leg is on, if we have not secured. We are hoping that when the second leg starts, we would have secured their remaining money to continue and complete the full season.
Yeah. And Mr. Isaac, if you're able to give the listeners some insight into how difficult it has been or is for the NFA to secure a corporate sponsor, maybe I don't know if you have insight on this, but to touch on some of the challenges that the association is facing in securing one or even more corporate sponsors for football.
Major challenges are from those that have spoken to, including the immediate first sponsor of the league,
mm-hmm.
Of the Premier League, which is Detmarine. And we would like to thank them. I think they have really, against all odds, against all economic pressures, they've weathered the storm for the three seasons. And unfortunately, we all know what's happening in the diamond industry globally.
Yeah.
They have, in the paper said, they have parked their vessels. They had to sell two vessels. They are supposed to lay off some of their staff members. And it goes for the other companies that they've approached that economically it's not going very well. They are not making the kind of money that they were hoping to make.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that there's an impact on the sponsorship that we are seeking from some of these corporates. We are thinking that we should be able to do things differently as corporates, but that's the situation and that's the difficulty. The economy is not good for some and bad for others. It's the same for everybody, and you must understand that that's what they're saying. People have shareholders, people have stakeholders who they report, and they seek mandates from there. And if the mandates do not come to put money into sponsorship, it's a challenge. And you must understand if somebody says, tell me, how I give you X amount of money and I must tell my workers that they must go home. How do you, what answer do you give to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the difficulties we face as sports investors. There are some who would want to give certain amounts of money perhaps, but would that be enough to run a lead campaign? That takes you over 10 months. So you look at all of those factors. Some clearly have their preferences, who they want to sponsor, mm-hmm. in terms of their CSR mandates or CSI mandates,
mm-hmm.
and maybe football is not part of what they think they want to sponsor. Mm-hmm. We respect that. But we are saying you must look at the football. It's not an industry, it's not a sector, but it's moving towards that. You have 480 players in the Premier League alone, mm-hmm. in the Namibia Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
In the Women's Super League, we have 340 in the Women's Super League, and then you have 14 regional second divisions, 14 regional third divisions, 14 regional women's leagues. There's a total of 20,200 men and women playing football.
Yeah.
Look at it that way. If you are into the selling business, whether you sell water or soft drinks, it's easy for you to get that money back if you pump money into football. Looking at football as an industry, as a sector, that can bring back the money. But people, unfortunately, don't look at it from that perspective. People think football or sport is sport for its sake. It's not. It's an economic uplifter. It's a socio-political imperative in our country. It sets the mood of society. That's wonderful things. I'm not talking only about football, but sports in general creates a happy environment for all of us to live in. When our teams do well, we're all celebrating. That's why you see the corporate always wanting to associate with when the teams do well,
yeah.
when the individual athletes do well.
Yeah.
So why don't you help us so that you sponsor us and the athletes will continue to do well and your businesses then grow because money starts coming in, athletes start spending the money, your business continues to grow. That is the cycle we must, I'm putting it very simplistically, but that is the relationship we must have as sports and the business sector.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one hand watches the other one.
Yeah.
But that's your question that you asked, what are the issues? The issues are people are saying, the economic difficulties that they are facing, they are faced by prospect of having to retrench or scale down their operations. And then what can you do than to respect what they're saying? Mm-hmm. I can tell you, we've spoken to some mines, and they will tell you they are under care maintenance. The prices of minerals and so on are not doing very well internationally.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect that person to give you money if they are in care and maintenance. Their workers are at home. Some have been retrenched, their tools are idle, and they must pay for storage fees,
yeah.
all of those things. That's what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
When we started to engage some of these corporates, some of the mines, because, you know, remember, you had a particular mine that used to sponsor under 15 national championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we wanted that to come back, but unfortunately, this is what we are told, and you need to accept what we are being told. But we are not saying we are going to sleep. We are not saying we are sitting on our laurels, sitting idle. We are continuously engaging corporates,
mm-hmm.
just so that they see what it is in for Namibia. It's not in for those who are running the NFA. It's in for Namibia. It's in for those 20,200 footballers, some of whom have not gone beyond grade 10 or grade 12, and football is really their only saving grace. It's the only thing that puts bread on the table for them. And if football is not played, and you remember there were instances a couple of years ago, 3 years, that we did not have football. And what happened? We had a very depressed community, a depressed football community.
Yeah.
There was no income for many of them. And we don't want to go there. And that's why we continue to want to prevail on the conscience of our corporates to really come and see reason. These are 20,200 young men and women. This mm-hmm. is just football.
Yeah.
What about the other sports groups if we don't really support them?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting that you bring up the point about that they are saying, you know, the economy is tough and so on, because in my opinion, you know, when the Rugby World Cup is now coming along, I don't think they're going to say that the economy is tough when rugby is looking for sponsorships, for example, or the same for other sports codes. So, I mean, I guess we'll see in the next 18 months or so how tough the economy really is when it comes to, you know, giving local sports some funds. But what I would like to ask you...
No, on that issue,
mm-hmm.
Look, it's sort of trying to butt heads, but that's not the business we are in. If other sponsors, if other federations are lucky to get sponsors from some of these institutions, some of these corporates, it is not going to those that are running those sports clubs. It's going to the players. We are all as Namibians going to be happy that we are going to see some form of a World Cup,
yeah.
Whether it is cricket, whether it is golf, whether it is rugby, whether it is. We must be happy for each other,
yeah.
When one of us is getting some points. I'm sure when say Jeff Marie supported football, they were also envious. They were also saying, wow, this guy. So if they attempt to benefit, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we are just saying, it's fine. We are managing the biggest football, the biggest sports coach,
mm-hmm.
With 20,200 kids. Please see reason to support us, because we are supporting Namibia.
Yeah.
We have a high unemployment rate. We have an education system that did not really help some of these young people. Help us. From that perspective, we help these young people and their parents so that they put bread on the table. Whether other kids will be happy for them, but we would not really want to say, why do you not give us, but you give them? Because others will also ask the question,
yeah.
Why do you give them and not us? So I think whoever gets, let's all be happy for each other. But as a football, we have a case to sell to corporates to say, you have this number of young people, you have a Namibia that struggles with unemployment, you have a Namibia that is different, because there's no football. So come and be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And looking back at last season and maybe even the season before that, what are some things that the NFA would like to maybe improve on or even change for this upcoming season?
Look, there's always room for improvement. There's always room for from the basics. From the basics, and this is what everybody is talking about, a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you fixture a match, let it stand for 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah.
And not make a request, no, I want to change my match to 5 o'clock because of effort. That's the smallest thing you need to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You need to start with referees arriving on time. So you can't want to have fixing while the bases are not in order.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always room for improvement. The past season has been good, but it could have been better if you compare it to the previous season, 23-24.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go, so we learn, so we tighten what the standard operating procedures, the things we need to do absolutely well. Those things are, there's always a consideration for how can you do it better. There has been talk, as you know, about taking the Premier League out of the NFA, that's the most Premier League. That process has started. I know there's talk happening about the NFA refusing to have the Premier League out. That is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
There has been several engagements. The last one has resulted in an appointment or election of four chairpersons from Premier League. The rumors outside that independence process that the Premier League must move completely out of the NFA. That process has started. It's being owned by the owners of the clubs in the Premier League. They have set themselves a timeline. They have set themselves goals, what to achieve when.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are ready, they will present that to the NFA. There will be an evaluation of that report, and a decision will be made in terms of the readiness of the Premier League to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But you do not want something to go out, and then it comes back again. When it leaves, we must be very sure that all the safeguards have been taken care of, all the bases have been covered.
Mm-hmm.
From a legislative, regulatory point of view, from a statutory point of view, from a financial point of view, all of these things are in place, and therefore the league can go solo.
Mm-hmm.
From having maybe to have its own secretariat, currently it's the NFA secretariat that's running the league affair. So the league must have its own secretariat when it goes independent. Maybe have its own facility when it goes independent.
Yeah.
And all of these things, take its own sponsorship. Some of those things are easy, some of them are not. But in totality, all of those things must be in place.
Mm-hmm.
If champions must be happy that those things, then they can agree, listen guys, I think we are now happy. Over whatever the period of time, I don't know, they will come with a bill plan. Over this period of time, we need to do X, accomplish X, Y, Z, and therefore we are happy that we have accomplished it, and we are moving on X, out of it, and there will be a congress, leadership will be elected and all of the things, and that independence starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So changing lanes a bit, can you tell us about the under 15 tournament that took place this past weekend?
Yes, it was a wonderful tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It took place in Venue at the HTS, at Junior Athletic Club, and at the airfield, and at the technical center, NFA Technical Center soccer field. We had 15 regions, under 15 boys and girls teams.
Yeah.
Competing for a space in the national under 15 teams, boys and girls. So you had a number of games. The format that we had was really just like the NetBank Namibian Newspaper Cup in terms of place in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And they played out the way hiccups here and there in terms of timing to start and so on. But we overcame that. At the end of the day, it's not how you start, but how you finish. At around midday, around 4 o'clock, we had both finals. Boys and girls, where Comas won both. The girls defeated Hardap 3-0. The boys defeated They defeated Omaheke 2-0. The Comas boys defeated Omaheke 2-0. Two very exciting final games. Not that the others were not, but it's a final. You really want it to stand out in it. You could see a lot of talent. We have naturally talented guys.
Yeah.
It's just that there's once you have them at this age, 14, 15, you have to make them play football regularly so that they are sharp by the time they get to 18, 19 to play for the under 20 team. So that's really in a nutshell what happened.
Mm-hmm.
A squad of 33 girls has been chosen. A squad of 33 boys has been chosen.
Mm-hmm.
They will be invited to a camp to prepare for the CAF under 15 schools championship / OSAFA qualifiers, which will be hosted in Joburg in December.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are now battling with is the issue of there are elections on the 26th or 7th November.
Yeah.
So you cannot really have the players come in to camp before that because they are preparing for exams.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are probably grade 11 and then grade 9, which are the external exam guys.
Yeah.
So as soon as they are done with their exams, they'll come into camp. And in earnest, they will start to prepare for the CAF African Schools Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And from the 33 boys, 33 girls, it will now be whittled to at least 25. And that is the squad that will go to South Africa to represent Namibia. We have not, over the 4 years that we have played in this competition, we have not gone over the preliminary stage, which is the country stage. So
yeah.
We are hoping that at least we will be one of those who are going to play in Africa. Because
mm-hmm.
when you win your zone, you go and represent your zone, which is now COSAFA in our case.
Mm-hmm.
You go and represent it against other African nations at under 15 level.
Most definitely. And it's good to hear that the association is preparing very early for the tournament this time. I remember when we hosted the one in Valfis, a lot of the conversation was about how how they didn't have enough time to train and all of that. So it's good that we are starting early this year.
Well, you see, like I said earlier, we always take learnings from the things we do,
yeah.
so that you have them improved in the next cycle when you have another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's never, learning will never stop, but it requires you to always also do the right thing right every time you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
In the next year.
Yeah. Okay, I've just two more questions. My second last one is about the attendance of local football now, especially that football is coming back. What do you have to say to the people of Namibia, local football fans, to get them out to the stadiums?
I think we need to put attendance in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when football is played there, it is two clubs.
Yeah.
It is left arguments, they say, it is Tura Magic and Black Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot expect the league or those that are managing the league to be at the forefront of having people go to the stadium.
Yeah.
It's not their job. It is the responsibility of the clubs to ensure that their supporters go and support their players.
Mm-hmm.
It is the club that stands at the gate to receive gate takings. It helps them to encourage their supporters to go to the field so that they pay and the club can then benefit from those gate takings which they can do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Buy kids, soft drinks, refreshments, whatever it is that they do. So from our perspective, it's really to say, we always try for football to start, but when it starts, there's nobody at the field.
Yeah.
And for somebody wants to sponsor, he needs eyeballs.
Exactly.
He needs eyeballs to see his product. And if he doesn't see that, it's going to be discouraging for him to put his money where he wants to put it.
Yeah.
So we need to work as a country to ensure that we have people going to the field. And it's the same people whom we work with as a country, mm-hmm. the same people who must go to the field. All of us must go and support our various clubs
mm-hmm.
so that the sponsors come on board. We provide that entertainment value. Sometimes it's not just for the sake of sponsors. It is for this young person to play, to put his best foot forward, exhibit the best football ever, and he can then be in contention for a national team place, or he can be looked at by another guy from another bigger club or somebody from outside who wants to have a player of his caliber. And there's a dollar coming in for him or for her and for the family and for the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I know this is from a national perspective. It's always about what is it that the nation benefits.
Mm-hmm.
If more people go to the stadium, more money goes, more navigators will benefit because more navigators will be paid by those players.
Mr. Amata, thank you very much for your time today. Unless there's anything else you would like to share with the listeners before I let you go regarding the return of football?
No, we will share in the coming week. There's a big development happening. It's a new development football,
mm-hmm.
with football development. There's a big announcement coming, so just be expecting we will share with the nation what this is all about in the coming week. But thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was none other than Isaac Himata speaking to us from the NFA about the start of the football season. I think he deserves our new sound effect. Thank you to Mr. Isaac for that insightful conversation. As always, if you'd like to chime in on that, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401 here in the studio. As we slowly line up our next guest, that is the Chula Chula head coach, Coach John Sekerete, will be with us in just a few moments to give us his perspective on the season. And his thoughts on Namibian football overall. And I would just like to clear up what I meant when I asked Isaac about the funding. Cause you know, he said that, The overwhelming response that they are getting as an association in trying to acquire sponsorships is that the economy is tough and so on. And then when I said what I said, it was not to compare or to even badmouth, you know, anyone involved in the situation. It's just to say that I think there's other reasons as to why certain sports struggle when it comes to securing sponsorship funds compared to others. You know, a good example I give is and that was further emphasized this weekend is Cricket Namibia. You know, on the previous edition of the Eagle Sports Zone, we had the CEO of Cricket Namibia on here, Johan Miller. Again, if you'd like to listen to that, go on to our website or the Eagle FM mobile application, podcast section. Just type in Eagle Sports Zone Cricket or Eagle Sports Zone Johan Müller. It'll come up. And he gave us a great, great conversation. And one of the things that he said was, you know, when he took over, I forget the exact year now, maybe I can't remember, but not too long ago, when he took over, right, he said, the Federation was in debt. I believe the number he gave was 3 million or so. Let's just say millions in debt. Millions in debt. They had little to no corporate sponsors, mainly because of they had developed a bad name, a bad image over the years prior to Johan getting that. And then in the discussion, he described how the Federation had to work hard to turn all of that around, you know, for one to pay off all their debts, and then two to regain the trust of corporate Namibia, essentially. And if you look today, if you, like I said, pay a visit to that stadium, if you go to that stadium today, you can't look anywhere without seeing a company logo somewhere at that facility, whether it's for a suite, whether it's around the fence, whether it's around the boundary, or just anywhere on the buildings. You know, I'm actually willing to bet that if you had to take, excluding now the actual playing field, right, because that's obviously quite a big surface, but if you had to take a cumulative surface area of that stadium grounds, and you minus the playing field, I'm willing to bet there's more surface covered in advertisement than not at that new stadium, right? And that just goes to show what can be done if a sports federation is run in a particular manner. And like I said, it wasn't always that way, because they had to start from the negative, essentially, and turn it around into a positive. So I think the same can be applied to other sports codes, especially the big ones, like we have like football and even rugby. Those are the main three. And netball now also will be interesting to see how, you know, they're going through this whole professionalization piloting and all that. So from a business side, it will be interesting to see how that will play out for the netball players and the federation as a whole. But I digress. We now move on to our next guest. Coach John, head coach of Chula Chula. So on the other side of this brief commercial break, actually on the other side of this musical break, we will get in touch with him. But first, let's hear from our resident uncle. None other than Mr. Jimmy Cliff. We'll be back on the other side of this. Thank you to Uncle Jimmy. We will be back right after this.
Okuyi kuranga o mathimbo gamwe kucha omoroshe ketu na ompango odhinjido moonjira ngaashi ino taagulukira shampoka ino hinga kohi yodhungo ino hinga nomatayela gapapa ino hingirira omoroshoka inatuhala okutula onkalamwenyo yoye moshiponga ino ninga omuyalulwa ino ninga oshinene nima kala omulongithi woonjira omwiinekelwa ninga shoka shomondjira eto hupitha oomwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ikura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali hea hi nola natu heali bali no hea ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
Now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I was trying to get in touch with our guest. Can't seem to reach him at the moment. But hopefully before 8 o'clock, we will be able to get a hold of him. But nonetheless, in the meantime, let's chat about the FIFA World Cup, 2026 FIFA World Cup qualification matches happening around the world. It is now the last round of matches, qualifying matches taking place. And so far, the countries that have qualified for the World Cup are obviously the hosts, Canada, Mexico, and the USA. We have Australia. We have Iran, Japan. Jordan, South Korea, Uzbekistan. That's what we have from the Asian side of things. In South America, we have Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, and Uruguay that have qualified. New Zealand has also qualified. I left them out of the Asia list. On the African side of things, We have Algeria who have qualified. It will be the first time since 2014 that they have qualified. Egypt has now qualified. It will be the first time that they have qualified since 2018. Morocco has qualified, and if they beat Congo on Tuesday, they will be the first African team to qualify for a World Cup, having won all of their qualifying matches. Morocco, we know, is experiencing a football, I don't even know if you can say renaissance, but they're doing extremely well in football now. If you remember the last World Cup, first African country to ever make it to the semifinals. So they're continuing their great form. And hopefully this time they might reach the final even. There's someone knocking on my door. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, evening, my brother. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, man.
What would you like to tell us this evening on the Eagle Sports Zone?
Yeah, really, I want to engage in when it comes to Bravos and also the comment from Issa Kamatade.
Okay.
Yeah. I was also listening to the radio to interview.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think when you send the Paralympic, let them start with the radio.
Yeah.
You send the Paralympic without even participating in the country and you expect them to win. How?
Mm-hmm.
It's very questionable. And I think really it's a hard time our leaders start listening. Because a lot of people are making money out of what sport.
Yeah.
Look at the Nigeria economy. How many sportsmen are contributing to when it comes to even the GDP of Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to football. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And you compare also to Brazilians. It's the same.
Yeah.
And in our country, my friend, a lot of people, they are better even to what? When it comes to political rally, they are able to fund. But when it comes to sport, they are not nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And when the Paralympic, somebody win, everybody want to take a picture with it. But just the way people are supposed to preparation, nobody's participating in them.
Yes.
No, it's a hard time. I think we need to question the people who are responsible. Because the way I'm looking, if even like, I'm suggesting even we come up with a fund.
Mm-hmm.
Look here, we have NAMCOL attached to what, a liter. When you are buying petrol, NAMCOL is having something, I think it's $1 something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't make sense. We can make it that a priority to sport. When I'm filling up my car for 500, at least I want like a $10 going to sport. Or something else.
Now we have
a lot of things which are not unnecessary. Even the Minister of Environment, they think they're having money there. That's why our leaders are maybe even like a $10 or $9. It's going to the government directly. And as a citizen, we don't benefit out of that. That's why we have people who are eating 400 million alone.
Mm.
In Angkor. It's a very shameful. Okay, let me say to come to back to Issa Kamatade. It's a good thing that they are really finding out to come, especially when you're, because I think first of all, anything they need to work out.
Yeah.
For themselves, because things are mess in NFA.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is NFA and the Namibia Premier League, which they are custody of the what Premier League. Because you can tell me, sometimes, the crowd turn up. Like, let me tell you, like, where I witnessed, like, Soccer Chula Chula and the African Star.
Mm-hmm.
That game always full of people.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that the market, they didn't do nothing apart from selling tickets.
But that game also, it's only full when it's like, when it's a final.
Yeah, no, not always a final. Sometimes it's like in the Premier League.
Mm.
Because I remember I attend twice the Soccer Chula Chula against African Star.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, the market, they don't do nothing apart from selling the, maybe selling the logos of NFA and what, t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, they need to organize, like, inviting even the artists, inviting even the Elmut, the comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
at half time, you see, they entertaining people.
Yeah.
The thing is that football move from the what? Just ordinary. Because sometimes I can go there because Enumo is performing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, they need to push up. They are not really doing anything. And I think it's a hard time also in FA. They come up with what? You don't need to rely on one sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a hard time also to approach what? Namibia Bulls. Because Namibia Bulls are under the what? Heineken. Heineken is sponsoring what? Champions League when it comes to Europe. What are they doing with our Namibian people? Apart from selling us beers.
Yeah.
What is their social responsibility? They are taking care of Namibian people. Because remember one thing, that the beers are destroying family. And for you to put the people together, what did they do? Nothing. They are here. We are buying their beer every day.
Mm.
But what we get from that? Nothing.
Mm.
They need to come on board. We don't need to... Sometimes I think the government need to push these people. Because remember one thing, that is that beer is not belong to Namibia anymore. Apart from killing our logo that in Windhoek Lager or Windhoek Draft or Tafel Lager.
Yeah.
It's hard time, man. We can look for somewhere. There are a lot of people who want to invest in Namibia coming from... I'm telling you, it's the same with MTC. We are buying every day credit from MTC. What do we get? Nothing. Even you can have a contract with MTC or just getting recharging and whatever. But apart from that, you don't get even a special edition like you can get because you've been staying with them or you're a loyal customer. We are going to award you with what? You've been for 35 or 20 years or mm-hmm. 25 years. We are going to give you a cell phone. Nothing like that. But we know that how much money they are making at the end of the day. But they need somebody to come and push them to sponsor the league. No, it's a hard time for these people to get a competition. Mm-hmm. MTN was interested to come to Namibia, but because of our monopoly, we allow RNTC to operate. No. It's the same with Telecom also. People, they need to come on board. They are not doing really anything. FNB, maybe you can say at least they just done something to build the cricket stadium. But what about Nedbank?
They have newspaper cup?
Yeah, they having... no, that's not enough. In South Africa, they're sponsoring a cup with a lot of millions.
Mm.
But here in newspaper cup, they even need what people to come on board or to assist them.
Mm.
No. I think it's that time. When you see these people, the way they are putting the dividend, what they make at the end of the day, it's a billions. But they are not putting anything in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with insurance. Really, we cannot even finish them. There are a lot of companies who are making a lot of money in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they don't plow back to the country.
Yeah.
No. We can talk about even the motor cars. Talk about everybody is driving a Polo or GTI. What they do
mm-hmm.
in the country?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are talking about even the premium when it starts. Let me say now, like this company, Volkswagen, was involved in the Polo and the GTI and what? Tiguan. They are sponsoring only T-shirt for the teams. Those teams are very easy. They are only 16 or something. And somebody can come on board, like maybe Toyota, and don't go Toyota even. Because everybody's driving a Land Cruiser and they are servicing the government cars.
Yeah.
They are buying boots for the players. No, there's a lot of people. People need to come on board. We don't need to, but I think they need to be forced. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard time for this government to rely on the business, private sector to start doing what they're supposed to be done. Not like we need to go there and kneel down for them to sponsor us. That is their responsibility, social responsible,
mm-hmm.
to look after our people. But they're not doing it.
Yeah.
My brother, you cannot talk even the mine. Mine is making a lot of money, but they are not flowing back to the community. Where even they are polluting.
You heard what Isaac said. He said the mines. They said they are under pressure from the shareholders.
No man, which shareholder? Now the shareholder. We need to know them, because a lot of Namibian people are the one who are what a custodian of those things. But at the end of the day, even the community where they come from. Just even a ball to give the kid to play. To take away them from the negativity thing. They are not doing it. Just check even how many comrades in the leadership are hosting even a January tournament. There are few.
Mm-hmm.
No. I think it's our time to take care of our people. Mm-hmm. Then we are wondering why Namibia are drinking too much. Why we are in the world, we are number 5 or number 7. It's because you are not taking care of the people. People are not having job. And what do you expect the youth to be? They are all obvious. They engage in something because they are active. They engage in something negative. Things we don't want in the country.
Yeah.
Anyway, my brother, thank you for giving me opportunity.
No, thank you for listening and thank you for coming through.
Yeah, is Kerede still coming?
I'm trying to get him.
Okay, yeah, because I want also to listen to him what they are going to say.
Yeah.
Because I must say also that at least we don't have a stadium in Elana Field. That stadium which they are erecting, it's okay, but I think it's very small. To host even like African Cup, not African Cup, African Star with against Chula Chula. I don't think that it's going to cater a lot of people.
Yeah.
To the chaos.
Yeah.
I don't know why they are not upgrading even this Oponofik stadium. Because I come from there.
Mm-hmm. But so, the way are you a Chula Chula fan?
Yeah, I'm a Chula Chula fan. It's a team which we grow up beating. Because I used to play one of the team also in the north. Chula Chula just gained the power recently. We used to be dominated like Young Tops and the Major Power. Everybody know that team, those teams back the days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity. I will listen to John. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Yes, thank you to that listener for his contribution. And, the short version of what he was saying is basically, when I was talking about all the companies that he said don't contribute, is basically the issue of the sports levy. You know, we've spoken a lot on here about the sports levy. That, by the way, even now that I bring it up, where is the sports levy that was promised to us? You know, it's been months now. Where is the sports levy that is promised to us in the Swapo Party Manifesto implementation plan? If you haven't checked that out, you haven't seen that, download the Eagle FM mobile application and you can access the full implementation plan there. Amongst other documents as well. A whole lot of documents actually. So, you know, the Eagle FM app, not only listening to the radio, you're also not only becoming smarter by listening, but we help you become smarter by reading, by giving you access to all this information. And so, let me try our guest once more. If we can get Coach John from Chula Chula on the line with us, ask him a few questions about the upcoming season. So we'll be right back after Mr. Bob Marley finishes serenading us. We'll be back right after this.
Jamming, and I hope you like jamming too. And the rules ain't no good. Cause every day we pay the price for the level sacrifice. Jam until the jam is through. We're jamming. The thing that jamming was a thing of the past. We're jamming. And I hope the jam is gonna last. No work to stop us now. We need to beg, but we won't bow. Neither can be born our soul.
Unfortunately, I could not get a hold of Coach John, so maybe we'll get to him later in the week. But to round off, I'd like to talk about the FIFA World Cup qualifiers. As before the caller came in, we were talking about the teams that have already qualified, and where was I? I was at Morocco. So from Africa, we have Algeria, as I said, Egypt, Morocco, and Tunisia. Tunisia, who the Brave Warriors are playing tomorrow, right? And speaking of the Brave Warriors, in just a moment, we'll hear from Coach Colin Benjamin, who gave a brief pre-match interview over in Tunisia, where the Brave Warriors are putting their final touches. And let me give you some context into what is required for Namibia to qualify for the World Cup, right? So after we lost to Liberia, which, yeah, that's a story for another day. After we lost 3-1 to Liberia, we now need to beat Tunisia, who are on their way to winning the group. In fact, let me double check. Tunisia. In our group. Okay, so in our group, Tunisia has already won the group. I just wanted to confirm that. But Tunisia has 25 points, 9 matches played, 8 matches won, 1 draw. 25 points. Namibia, 9 matches played, 4 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses, 15 points. Okay. So what needs to happen for Namibia to have a chance of getting to the qualifying playoff, which by the way, if we were to qualify for that, there's some serious, serious teams that are going to be part of that qualifying playoff. But I digress. To get there, we need to beat Tunisia 7-0 and hope that four countries above them lose their final group games for us to qualify for the playoff. So long story short, long story less long, we're not going to the World Cup. Even though we had it was a great dream, honestly. It would have been as we all know, it would have been an incredible achievement had the Brave Warriors pulled this off. But unfortunately it was not meant to happen this time. My colleague David, who does Early Morning Scoop, said we're going to the World Cup, just not this one. Right? So maybe 2030. Maybe 2034 will be our time to be present at a World Cup. But yes, we play Tunisia tomorrow in Tunisia. And let's take a listen to Coach Colin Benjamin speaking ahead of that fixture. Here is Coach Colin.
Yeah, well, we just want to congratulate Coach Semitra, basically the people of Tunisia for qualifying for the World Cup. Congratulations on that. Obviously, we also know that it's a very good team. The players, technically, tactically, really good. It's going to be a tough match for us. But we've got a good group of young players that is hungry, that wants to end this campaign on a very high against a very good opponent.
What's your idea about Tunisian team?
Tunisian team, just that what you know, very good technically, a lot of alternatives. Coach can play Skiri, he's playing Mavri, Mastouri, Ori, who's playing, so there's many options. So we all know that Tunisia is a good team, but also people think that we've got a very good young team of guys that is learning every day and that he wants to show that they are good players and they can play good against good opponents such as Tunisia.
That was Coach Colin Benjamin giving his brief thoughts on the fixture against Tunisia. And, just now, actually, I didn't put this together when I was speaking about it earlier, but all the teams that have qualified so far from Africa are all North African teams. You know, Algeria, Egypt, Morocco, and Tunisia. That's four teams. And Africa, by the way, will get 9 qualifying spots. Plus, one place in the playoff tournament that I talked about. So around half of the teams that qualified for, or that will qualify for the FIFA World Cup that will be representing Africa are from one part of Africa, North Africa. So, as of now, we only have North African teams representing Africa. No sub-Saharan teams yet. So speaking of the sub-Saharan teams, Senegal basically just need a draw against Mauritania to qualify. Ivory Coast need to beat Kenya in their final fixture to seal their qualification. We have a Cape Verde. You guys remember that AFCON where Cape Verde was present? They just need to beat Eswatini tomorrow and they will qualify as, fun fact, they will be the second smallest nation population-wise to play in a World Cup. If you can, I'll give you guys 5 minutes to call in to tell me what is the smallest country population-wise to have played in a FIFA World Cup. Let's see if this caller has that answer. Eagle FM, good evening.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I was listening to the radio. Yep. I was thinking about South Africa. Why haven't they qualified yet?
Who did you say, sorry?
South Africa.
Yes, yeah, so South Africa is in a bit of a situation. I don't know if you saw that they got 3 points deducted because they fielded an ineligible player.
Whoa.
So they okay. So they are in Group C that has Nigeria and Benin as well.
Okay.
And it's Benin currently leads the group on 17 points.
Uh-huh.
South Africa is on 15 and second.
Okay.
And then Nigeria is in third on 14 points.
Ah.
Yeah. And so...
That's good to know. And what's the situation in Namibia in a group stage?
Namibia is playing against Tunisia tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Which Tunisia has already won our group. They're 10 points ahead of Namibia.
Whoa. So, and how do you think that game is going to turn out?
Between Namibia and Tunisia?
Yeah.
I think it'll be a very difficult game for our boys, but I think we can put up a good fight, but if I'm being honest, I'm not expecting a victory.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think 7-0 is realistic?
Sorry?
Do you think 7-0 is realistic?
For us to beat Tunisia?
Yeah.
No, that would be a world wonder if that happened.
Okay. Thank you for your time, man.
Thank you for calling. Yes, you can chime in. We have around, how much time do we have left? We have around 15 minutes left. If you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. And as I said, if you can answer this question, who is the smallest nation to have played in a FIFA World Cup, population-wise? If Cape Verde does what they need to do, they will qualify for the World Cup and they will be the second smallest. I want you guys to call in and tell me who is the smallest nation to have ever participated in a FIFA World Cup. And Ghana, if you guys remember, they didn't qualify for the previous AFCON, but they have pretty much qualified for the World Cup. All they need to do is if they lose to Comoros at home and Madagascar wins away at Malawi, as well as an 8-goal swing, they're kind of in a similar situation as Namibia. That's the only thing that will prevent Ghana from qualifying for the World Cup. So mathematically, they're not in yet, but realistically speaking, Ghana will be on the plane to the USA, Canada, and Mexico. And as the caller had asked about South Africa, as I said, they're in a precarious situation, which honestly is quite silly. I don't understand how a nation of South Africa's stature when it comes to sports and football in particular, how and why they would field a player that's not eligible to play. Absolutely do not understand how that is possible. And if that point deduction ends up being what costs them a place in the World Cup, I can only imagine what the backlash will be. I can only imagine what their Minister of Sport, Gayton McKenzie, will have to say. I can only imagine what the people of South Africa have to say if that 3-point deduction is to cost them a place at the World Cup. And the match that they did it in even was against Lesotho. I mean, with all due respect to Lesotho, South Africa doesn't need to cheat essentially to beat Lesotho. I really don't understand why that happened. And had they not been deducted those points, Nigeria would be out of the running. They would be mathematically unable to qualify for the World Cup. So Nigeria, footballing powerhouse that we know from West Africa, right now as we speak, only has a chance to qualify for the World Cup because of that blunder that the South Africans made in fielding a player that wasn't allowed to play. That situation, by the way, is how Namibia got
some of their points as well. If you guys remember, I think it was Equatorial Guinea that fielded a player that wasn't allowed to, that shouldn't have been playing. So we got three, if I'm not mistaken, six of our points. So, and Nigeria has only won three of their nine World Cup qualifiers so far. So it's been a bad campaign for them. They don't deserve to be at the World Cup if we're going off results. But Benin, who it would be their very first time if they were to qualify, who are now leading this group. And if they win their next fixture, they're in. And the two sides are playing against each other as well, which makes this group all the more interesting. There will be lots of drama in this fixture. And if Nigeria were to win 2-1, both Benin and Nigeria would have identical records. So same points, same wins, same losses, same goal difference. So meaning that FIFA would need to refer to the disciplinary records, meaning how many yellow and red cards have been branded out to the team in order to determine who finishes first in the group, which would be quite remarkable. And meanwhile, South Africa can overtake Benin for the top spot if they beat Rwanda. My new favorite nation, Rwanda, at home. And if Benin loses, then South Africa will be through. Eagle FM, good evening.
Evening. I just wanted to answer the question about the smallest nation to ever qualify for the World Cup.
Yes, please. Do you have the answer for us?
Yeah, it's Vatican City, I think.
It's what?
Vatican City. It's a European. It's a European country.
You're telling me Vatican City qualified for a World Cup? Is that what you're saying on the Eagle FM airways this evening?
Yes. Is that wrong?
Is that the answer is that the answer Google gave you?
No comment. But.
I think Google misled you, because that is not the correct answer.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Do one more Google and then call us back.
All right.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yes, if you would like to answer the question that the listener attempted to answer, what is the smallest nation population wise? To ever participate at a FIFA World Cup. You have around 7-8 minutes to call in. The number in the series, 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Call in. Tell me, what is the smallest nation to have qualified for a FIFA World Cup? And when we say smallest nation, we mean population wise. To give you some, a clue, Cape Verde would be the second smallest, and their population, as of 2024 is 524,000. So about around the amount of people that are in Ventuk, right? So there's a country with even less people that has qualified for the World Cup. Please call in and tell me. Another hint, it was at a fairly recent World Cup. Let's say in the last 10 years, this nation was there. And it kind of took the world by storm, honestly. So, do call in. Let us know. It is not the Vatican City or whatever our previous caller had to say. And, I had to make sure that is Vatican City even a country? And it is. technically? It is technically a country, but no, they don't count. Their population is 882. Anyways. Another scenario for Nigeria to qualify is that they need to win 1-0 or by a 2-goal margin and hope that South Africa do not win to progress. So it'll be a very exciting final round of fixtures from an African point of view. We need 5 more countries in to go to the plane to North America. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sir.
Yes.
I am here to answer your question that you, the smallest nation that ended the World Cup.
Yes, please. What is your answer?
I think it's Morocco.
Guys, no, it is not Morocco.
Oh, okay.
It is not Morocco. Was that an answer that Google gave you, or was that a guess from your end?
It was a guess.
Guess one more time. You have about 5 more minutes. We'll give you 5 more minutes to come back with another answer.
I don't need those 5 minutes.
All right.
I know, guess again. Istanbul.
Istanbul is a city, my friend.
Oh.
We need some geography lessons here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Call us back. Do some more research and you can call us back.
I bet.
All right.
Yes, it seems that the question of the smallest nation to participate in a World Cup is stumping a few people. I'm still honestly very, very confused by the answer that our previous listener gave about Vatican City. I think maybe he looked up the smallest country and figured that Vatican City played in a World Cup. And yes, I just confirmed. Vatican City is in fact the smallest fully independent nation state in the world. So I think, my friend, when you Googled, you must have Googled something incorrect, because I didn't ask what's the smallest country in the world population-wise. I asked smallest nation population-wise to participate in a FIFA World Cup. Do call in 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401 if you would like to be crowned the Eagle Sports Zone Trivia King for the evening. You know, maybe this is a segment we will introduce every week, because it seems this question seems to have stumped you guys, even though you have Google at your disposal. As I said, Cape Verde will be the second smallest, and they have a population of 520,000.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, I'm back.
Yes, what new answer did you come back with?
So, I've guessed, and ChatGPT, I hope, gave me the answer, Slovenia.
Slovenia?
Yeah.
The smallest country, population-wise, is Slovenia.
Yes.
That is incorrect, my friend.
Oh. That is incorrect. Can I try again?
Okay, listen to this hint that I gave you. I don't know if you heard the hint.
Oh, okay, what's the hint?
I said if Cape Verde qualifies for the World Cup, right? Have you heard of the country Cape Verde? Cape Verde?
No.
Okay, so it's a small island nation off the coast of West Africa.
But
their population is 520,000.
Yeah.
So they would be the second smallest. So you need to find a country that has less than 524,000 people. And Slovenia is not one of them. Slovenia has 2 million people.
Oh.
So I'm giving you one final guess before you are disqualified from this competition.
Oh, okay. Let me think. Is it in Europe?
Yes, it's a EU country.
Okay. Then by population and small, Luxembourg.
No, sir. No, sir.
Oh. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Yes, okay. It seems the question has stumped our listener there. But the answer, unless someone wants to call in one more time, 0832-888-401 is the number in our studio here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Before I sign out, I need one person to tell me, what is the smallest nation population-wise to have qualified for a FIFA World Cup? As I said, one hint, Cape Verde would be second if they qualify, or when they qualify. So think of a country that has less people than Windhoek. I mean, I'm practically giving the answer away. I said it's in the EU. We'll give you guys a few more seconds if anyone wants to chime in. Do call back 0832-888-401, 0832-888-401. What is the smallest nation to have participated in a FIFA World Cup? I think we have a winner coming in here. I don't know what's going on with you guys, but okay. My time, unfortunately, has expired. We will be back next Sunday, same time, same place, live on your number one talk radio station. And before I sign out, the answer to the question that has stumped so many of you, and even though you have Google right at your fingertips, the answer is Iceland. Iceland are the smallest nation to have participated in a FIFA World Cup. Iceland's population is 404,000. It's too late. Whoever is calling.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Evening.
Yes.
So I think I have the answer.
I just read the answer out. You're too late. Oh, but let me hear. What do you have?
Iceland.
Yeah, I just gave that away just now.
But
stay tuned next week. We will have another trivia question for you. Let's see if you'll get that on your first try.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao.
All right.
Yes, on the Eagle Sports Zone. Clearly, we need some geography lessons as well on the Eagle Sports Zone. But the answer is Iceland. If you guys remember Iceland's World Cup run in... which World Cup was that? It was 2018. The Russia one. Where they caught the world by surprise. I remember it vividly. You know, the team with Sigurdsson and all those guys. 2018 made their debut at the World Cup. Smallest nation. Anyways, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will be back same time, same place next week on the Eagle Sports Zone. And maybe next week we'll be able to get in touch with Coach John. But this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Thank you for tuning in. And tomorrow, the Villager e-paper is coming out. If you have not subscribed yet to the Villager, simply send a WhatsApp message. Very important that it's a WhatsApp message. And that you save the following number as a contact, which is 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. If you'd like to subscribe to the Villager to receive it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you'd like to receive it via email as well, include your email in the WhatsApp message. And again, save the number as a contact every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Early morning, you will get it right directly to your mobile device and you will be up to date with the latest and greatest news in business, economics, even sports, agricultural related policy developments, all kinds of great information at your fingertips for free. Simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That is it from me. See you next Sunday, 6 p.m. sharp. We hope you have a good rest of the week.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.